Welcome to the Scream Sisters podcast, women who love horror.
We're all just misfits and odds. We're running around the city at night, underneath the city lights, oh yeah.
Hi, this is Misty from the Scream Sisters. We're going to talk about special effects tonight. I have a local special effects artist with me, Billy Coyne. I have Melissa with me, but she's probably not going to talk too much. Because she actually has zombie makeup on right now. But you can say hi.
Hi, everybody.
But I'm going to pretty much ask all the questions. So, Billy, say hi.
Hey, what's up?
All right. So, essentially, what inspired you to start doing special effects, Billy?
Well, to get into the craft of makeup effects, I was about 5 years old. I saw the box art to a movie called Ghoulies, or Demons Popping Under Toilets, or in this case, I mean, I even have the day documented where my neighbor came over and she had, back in the 80s, those giant Samsonite briefcases, you know, those old camcorders, and she put a movie on the mantle, and I, you know, after she recorded me, I pulled the ottoman over to the mantle, and I'm looking at this image of this little reptoid baby sticking out, coming out of a toilet wearing essentially 80s aerobics clothes, which I thought was terrifying and something extremely funny about it. That was kind of the lightning image as is that really got me interested in fantastic cinema. But, you know, movies Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Space Invaders, I really just preferred the practical stuff when I was younger. But by the time I was 10, movies like Jurassic Park were already being made. The Abyss had already come out. So, you know, I understood early on, you know, that computer graphics were slowly coming to a head. But mm-hmm. I just much preferred the practical stuff, especially the 80s creature features, you know, Ghoulies, Gremlins, Critters, you know, I mean, those were, I mean, I guess you would say I'm definitely more of a monster kid than a gore effects kid. I mean, I love doing gore effects, but, you know, it's really the monsters that I became fascinated with.
Right.
And all the practical stuff. So that's kind of really where the pilot, but it was Ghoulies that lit the pilot.
Okay. All right, who are some of your influences?
I would say some of my influences, you know, like when I discovered movies, you know, young, like Space Invaders, you know, John Criswell was an artist that I definitely became a household name by the age of 10. Stop motion animation, you know, was something I was obsessed with. I learned the name David Allen, who did Puppet Master films, you know, and he was definitely actually probably one of the last monster kids, like with, you know, Phil Tippett and, of that generation. But, I think David Allen is probably the most influential overall between his work on movies like Dolls, Puppet Master, and Robot Jocks, and, you know, especially Dolls. You know, Dolls is one of my favorite movies, you know. I would say it's at least my top five favorite movies of all time.
Okay. All right. What do you think of the current state of the industry right now?
Well, from the directors that I've worked with, they very much still value practical makeup effects. But, you know, computer graphics definitely, I think, has its place now. As I mentioned earlier, I just saw, you know, the newest King Kong movie. And I thought the computer graphics in that were exceptional. I mean, I don't watch a lot of contemporary, you know, movies. I mean, you know, I pretty much stick to the 80s, you know, and watch the stuff that I love. But, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy, I watched, you know, like the first one, and I fell in love with that. You know, I love the, you know, computer graphics. But, you know, practical will always have its place. I mean, whether if it's period pieces, you know, when it comes to wigs, And I definitely see a resurgence, you know, with practical makeup. I mean, you know, besides
just Death House.
I was about to say that. Death House. You know, I mean, Death House. You know, even though I almost had an anxiety attack and I had to walk out of there, you know, I mean, from talking to, you know, Felissa Rose, you know, she told me that there was some practical stuff in there. But practical is still very much, you know, has its place. I mean, I never felt like computer graphics would be taking over. I mean, you know, some of the makeup artists might have transitioned and done, you know, on the digital end.
Right.
But, you know, I think with shows like Face Off, you know, they're still very much...
I was going to bring that up, actually.
They're still very much, you know, a demand for practical makeup effects.
What do you feel about Face Off? Is it something that you don't like, or is it something
you make it sound like I hate it or something like that?
I don't know. I don't know how you feel about it.
Well, I was contacted for the first two seasons of Face Off. I was under contract. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to do it, but, you know, I think there's some amazing talent that has come, you know, through the show. Being an alumni of Tom Savini's program, some of my classmates were on the show, and I wish nothing but the best for them. And, you know, I think it's wonderful when you see, you know, your peers basically, you know, step up the ranks, you know, whether if it's on TV. Pardon me. But, you know, plus I think if I was on the show, I mean, you know, I try to be fairly relaxed, you know, personality, which, you know, we've known each other for a while, and, you know, which I am, but I deal with certain anxieties, and, you know, the last thing I would want to deal with is, you know, going on television and actually having a, you know, anxiety attack, you know, I mean.
Different when you're in your comfort zone as opposed to somewhere you're not.
So that's why, like, when we were doing makeup here, you know, I mean, I'm definitely in my comfort zone, you know, and I'm used to being front of the camera as well. I mean, you know, I've been on the stage and, you know, I've been in front of the camera playing villainous roles or, you know, just kind of background stuff, you know. I mean, I like to do it all, you know, in this business. I mean, makeup effects is, you know, definitely how we got into the business.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I've done so many different things as well, ranging from being a first AD, I mean, I produced my first horror movie a few years ago, and, you know, art direction. You know, definitely more on the visual side, you know, I really enjoy, but,
okay.
You know, producing is something I definitely want to get more into.
Do you have any upcoming projects that you're working on?
At this point in time, let me think, what do I have coming up? I have some conventions coming up.
Okay.
Yeah. I got Rock and Shock coming up in October, but for film production itself, I'm basically just trying to revamp everything at this point in my career. You know, I'm revamping my site. I'm revamping my credits. I think I just really want to kind of bone up and, you know, just really kind of pimp and promote my services. And, you know, I think, 2017 has been a very good year. I mean, I've just been so busy with my day job where, you know, I want to definitely take on more productions, but at this point in time, you know, there's really no specific film production on my roster, but, I mean, I'll take anything. I mean, I don't want to say I'll take anything, but, you know, it's just all about weighing your options, you know, it's right. About, you know, reading the script, if you can get behind it.
Taking that thing that jumps out at you.
Exactly, yeah, and if the budget's there, that's great. If the budget's not there, then, you know, and I believe in the project. And, you know, I'll make some accommodations where, you know, if I can get, you know, maybe some front credit or, you know, maybe wear another few hats and maybe get a producer credit of sorts, which, you know, always looks good, you know, on a resume.
Sure.
Just wearing, you know, taking on some more responsibility and doing the best that you can.
Tell me about some of your experiences at the Tom Savini School.
Well, I went to Tom's program straight out of high school. And I had been in boarding school for quite a number of years. So going to Tom's program was really like my going away to college. I was not the John Belushi character. I guess I was more or less almost like the flounder type of character when I first started.
rest in peace.
Yeah, and rest in peace, you know, Mr. First, you know, Stephen First, who just passed away fairly recently. But yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, I you know, being the newbie, I mean, you know, I guess, you know, I was kind of putting myself in situations where, you know, I was kind of the butt of certain jokes. So, for Tom's program, you know, I mean, I would come into my days off. You know, I would like to learn stuff not just from my teachers, but from the other teachers and what they were teaching other people. My mentor was one of the best mentors I ever had in my life, Jerry Gergely, who just wanted to see me succeed. So, you know, I learned a bunch of different sculpting techniques, molding techniques, painting techniques. You know, since it was Tom's, you know, program, he would come in and orientation was definitely, you know, rather interesting. I mean, I got into this trade knowing certain names already. I knew of Tom Savini, but, you know, I didn't know his body of work.
Right.
So when he asked, like, hey, is anybody here not familiar with my movies? I'm that one idiot at orientation, basically, raising my hand. But I knew the character Jason Voorhees. I didn't realize that, you know, he created the character of Jason Voorhees.
Yes, he did.
And, yeah, so, I mean, I you know, I started, I want to say, the October of 2002, and I graduated of February of 2004. It was a 16-month program. So, yeah, I mean, it was 16 months.
Wow, that must have been pretty intense.
Well, it was my first time, you know, like I said, living by myself, you know, I mean, kind of at the bottom of the totem pole, you know, just seeing, you know, trying to work my way up again.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it was definitely, you know, a series of memories, you know, I'll always, you know, have, you know, and just thankful for the opportunity to, you know, attend a very prestigious, you know, makeup effects, you know, program, just learning the trade of, you know, special effects makeup.
Is that school in L.A. or?
No, the Tom's program is actually outside of Pittsburgh.
It's in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh,
Pennsylvania. It's about probably a half hour southwest, about 20 minutes from the border to Ohio, kind of the top of the Monongahela River. And the funny thing was, directly across the street from the school was this one of the last coke mines. And at this facility, it was actually where they shot the ending of RoboCop. So I thought that was pretty cool. Tom's program is known in this town, but it's also the same town where they filmed the ending of RoboCop.
Oh, that's cool. I know you said you did some work on some of the promotion work for Walking Dead. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, I got hired. It actually first started with this gentleman calling me by the name of Scotty Mullen, who has gone on to become the casting director on Sharknado 4.
Oh.
and he actually called me and said, hey, I'm doing this movie, doing promotions for this movie called The Ruins. I want to hire you and basically do some makeup, kind of a live window display at Newbury Comics, where vines were basically kind of growing up through these two attractive women, and they're covered in blood, and, you know, they have open wounds, and they're screaming out onto Newbury Street. And that, in turn, I want to say about a year later, I got contacted by, I believe, the same marketing company, and AMC was just starting up The Walking Dead. And it was the same circumstances where they wanted someone to do promotional makeup. Or promotional special makeup effects. And for The Walking Dead, I was a little confused because they really didn't specify the type of zombies that they wanted, because at this point in time, there was a huge kind of resurgence in zombies themselves, but there were many different types. There was kind of the infected zombie look.
Right.
And there was like the classic Romero zombie look.
Yes.
And what I created was more of the diseased zombie look. And I had to make up 7 zombies in only 3 hours.
Wow.
And that's no time. I had to basically pre-make a series of prosthetics. And I got the job, I want to say, only a week before the premiere of The Walking Dead, because it was that night. I believe it was October 31st, 2010.
Wow.
It was definitely pressure. And considering how they were diseased, you know, I'm thinking, okay, they're not going to have, like, the traditional, like, brow, like Romero. So I'm creating more, like, open wounds, you know, and kind of doing a little bit of stippling techniques and, you know, just kind of going that diseased route. Still, you know, even though they're two small prosthetics that I had to lay down on at least half a dozen, you know, actors and actresses. And then they basically shipped them. I was actually put up for the night in Andover, Massachusetts. And three of them were going to the Best Buy, actually, at, you know, handing out, you know, being zombies. Watch the show. You know, they're handing out flyers. And then the others were came to the South Bay, which is kind of close by. Here we are in Dorchester. And they were like, watch the show. It's coming out tonight. And, you know, that was, you know, it was a very cool experience. I mean, you know, I didn't know how big The Walking Dead was going to become. Keep in mind, yes. You know, I mean, this was just, you know, doing promotions for the show. And, but, you know, it was getting that job, you know, coming from The Ruins, which was DreamWorks, which is, you know, Spielberg, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Spielberg, huge.
Doesn't, you know, which is huge. But, you know, getting that phone call from Scotty Mullen, who just really helped, you know, pulled me out of, you know, kind of the 10 cent and dime productions to doing promotions for some pretty reputable clients, you know, AMC and Spielberg, you know, I'm eternally grateful for.
Right.
Yeah.
I know you lived in LA for a while, so what kind of work did you do there?
Well, I went to school, when I finished up Savini's, I moved out to Los Angeles and I attended the makeup designery out there. And I took their master's program, and that master's program consisted of beauty makeup, character makeup, and special effects makeup. Beauty makeup, can't lie, still not the greatest at it. But I have a very good eye for color. So I've been on sets where, you know, if they'd be like, you know, okay, you know, like, where's the makeup artist? And it's like, oh, get Billy Coyne. It's like, he doesn't know how to do beauty makeup. I don't like saying that. But it's like, you know, I have a good eye for color. And they're like, you know, listen, you know, I'm the... You know, the actress, you know, I mean, I have worn makeup before, you know, what colors do you think would be the most complimentary? And I'll give them a series of colors, and I'll always say stuff like, you know, what do you feel are your best features? And they'll be like, my eyes. And I said to them, let's make them pop. Someone will say, what do you think is your best feature? My lips. Let's make them pop. Let's give you a moxie. Let's, you know, let's put that best, you know,
the best features on display.
Exactly. Let's feature your best, you know, let's display your best features. So I'll definitely, and thank you, Melissa, because I was trying to find my words, but then you're right. And so for beauty makeup, you know, I definitely have a good eye for it. And people will come to me, even my mom will actually come to me and be like, hey, you know, what color should I go with, Billy? And I'll let her know. Character makeup.
Oh, remember that.
Character makeup was one of my favorite classes, because it was learning how to do ball caps and, you know, learning how to lay down prosthetics and doing, like, hair work, you know, and, like, making, like, a werewolf, you know, so, like, a wig. And, you know, that was a blast. But special makeup was my favorite class, because I'd already gone to Tom's program, and that's what primarily, you know, the whole school is. Sculpting, mold making, painting. And when I came in, because a lot of people thought I was kind of, you know, like, is this kid didn't know what the hell he's doing? But, you know, it's the first day I got into special makeup effects. It's like a light bulb went off. And it's like, okay, I'm going to help you with live casting. And the teacher's like, whoa, this kid knows just what he's doing. So, you know, I would definitely, I mean, I wasn't giving advice, you know, considering how I already gone to one school. But they were like, this kid, you know, has passion. This kid knows, you know, this trade. So I would be helping all the other students out where... You know, but just talking to the teachers, being like, you know, I want to be stepping on your toes or anything like that, you know. But, you know, it was like a bulb went off and they just were like, wow, this is the same kid who was in our beauty makeup class. It was basically falling asleep, practically. I mean, I was paying attention, but, you know, I wasn't that interested. But when I graduated from there, the first feature I did, or the first job I found, was this project where one of my peers got this movie called The Storyteller. And the storyteller, I had flown back to Boston to, I think, for a long weekend. And I got a phone call saying, Billy, you know, can you help me out on this project? He's like, you know, I'm not sure. I know exactly what I'm doing. So what are you talking about, Mike? You were sitting next to me in makeup effects class. I'm like, I know what you were doing. So I flew back out, and I was working on this movie, The Storyteller. And I found out the cast, and I was extremely impressed. I noticed we had Michael Berryman from The Hills Have Eyes. We had what's her name? Kim Darby from Don't Be Afraid of the Dark, and from, I think it was one of the Halloween sequels, you know, she was also in, so, you know, yeah. She was established. And I want to say Sean Patrick Flannery or something like that.
Yeah, he's in it.
Yeah, and the movie was called, but the movie was known as Storyteller, but it was turned into a different title as The Evil Within. And I was about to say The Terror Within, but that was a different movie. And I was stoked when I found out that the movie, considering this is my first film, you know, and I was on a project for only 3 weeks. I was doing live casting work, testing miniatures, working in the shop, you know, just kind of cleaning up. And this was in the director's basement. And unfortunately, I had a family friend pass away. And I moved. Well, I didn't move, but, you know, I just went back to Boston. And, you know, so I was there for 3 weeks. And when I came back, you know, things just kind of, you know, I think I was also homesick as well. And things were just kind of, you know, changing. I mean, the circumstances, I mean, I really loved what I learned, you know, on The Evil Within. But, you know, there were definitely some instances that I was kind of questioning, is this what, all for film production is like? I mean, is all film production almost this, you know, over the top and crazy? And, you know, but I don't like saying that about the production because, you know, there were some very good experiences I had. Mm. I mean, the director, Andrew Getty, he actually let us drive his 1950s Silver Bullet Bugatti.
Oh, my God.
I mean, this was a custom.
You know, there's a perk.
Yeah. You know, like driving down the Hollywood Hills, you know, to get lunch and then come back and play his, you know, creature from the Black Lagoon pinball machine. I mean,
oh my God,
this was an incredible experience and a very, you know, good experience. And, you know, and finding out how, you know, The Evil Within is going to be, you know, on the cover of next month's issue of Rue Morgue.
That's awesome.
So, I mean, to have your first movie be, you know, on the cover of a horror movie magazine, you know, especially after 12 years, because you do a project and it might fall to the wayside or, you know, it might, you know, come out, you know, small and roll out. But to have your first film, you know, basically have this legendary, you know, kind of story, you know, kind of building about, you know, how much of this production had its ups and downs and all over and how it's going to be coming to fruition. I mean, I found out that the movie's actually already out. It's on Amazon Prime.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't watched it yet. I will be watching it this week because I actually need to find out if I'm credited anywhere in the movie. But I have a feeling.
Are you listed on IMDb, maybe?
Well, I mean, yeah, but I don't know. I mean, as far as I know, I'm not on IMDb. But, you know, considering I had the experiences I had, you know, I've been talking to some people. And they were saying, like, you know, yeah, I mean, you should definitely go for it. So I actually want to check out the movie itself and check the end credits and see if I'm in there anywhere at all.
Should be, yeah.
But after, when you work on a project for 3 weeks, you know. And
That's your IMDb.
It's my IMDb. Yeah, there I am. I mean, the dissolving man. Witch Hunt, good old Rick Chandler, one of my good buddies, working it out. Andrew Fitzgerald, working it out. Jesus Christ. I mean, you know, I was in New York City. That was an amazing experience. And I was on working. Yeah, we filmed it in New York. That was like my real, you know, big location job. And I see one of our buddies over here is poking at Melissa's face because he can't get over how cool the makeup is. He's saying it's soft. I mean, I'm looking at this kid who looks like McLovin, and he's poking my friend in the face, you know, so.
A little poker.
Yeah, the little poker. But working it out, I mean, here you go. I mean, working it out was made back in, I should talk about that one. That was like one of the first film projects I ever did that was non-horror related.
Really?
I've done primarily, I would say, probably about 80% genre in horror films. I get this phone call from a good buddy of mine who says, hey, Billy, you know, I got this gig. You're going to love it. We're filming in New York. It's going to be a blast. And I said, sure, awesome. Send me the script. And he didn't send the script right away. And this is like ending up to be like 2 days before I'm supposed to be heading down there. I get the script and they're like, did you read it? And I'm like, no, I'll read it on the way down. Don't worry about it. And I read it on the way down, and it's a romantic comedy that takes place in a gym.
Oh, jeez.
And I said, what the hell do you want me to do on this project? And he said, well, we want you to make people look sweaty. And it's like, just have them work out.
Right.
And he said,
it's the easiest.
Yeah.
Spray them with water.
So I go into Sephora. In New York City, one of the most expensive places I've ever been.
Yes, I knew. I shopped there.
Yeah. And I pick up this belt, and I basically have, like, a whole series of water bottles. I look like the water boy, practically. I have, you know, aerosol, Evian, you know, water cans, you know, in my belt. I have, like, a spray bottle, almost like a, you know, a Windex type of bottle. And I'm walking up to people. I'm saying, okay, so what are you doing? And he's like, I'm doing biceps. Okay, put your arms up. And I'm, like, spraying their armpits and everything, making them look sweaty, beating up their foreheads. And that movie was directed by my good friend, Andrew Fitzgerald, and produced by my other good friend, Patrick McCabe, who I've known for, you know, almost 10 years now. And I've done probably 6 productions with them, ranging from features and shorts and commercials. We did a commercial for Diablo Golf Products, where I made some guy up as the devil for... you know, golf clubs. So, you know, that was definitely interesting. And, but yeah, I mean, you know, but I mean, I've done the whole gambit. I mean, you know, not just makeup effects. I mean, I've been in front of the camera as an actor. You know, I've done art direction. You know, I've done first AD work, you know, props.
Didn't you pull the jaw off of James Balsamo?
Yes.
Who's on our show?
James Balsamo here.
I was waiting for that.
He was on our independent movie show, so
well, I
former guest.
Good old Jimmy B. Yeah, but Balsamo, we worked together in a movie called Groundhog, and that was directed by David Maggot McDonough and produced by Matthew Fisher. And I came in basically creating a series of gore effects. This was kind of an ode to the 1980s slasher films. You know,
is this
like,
movie ever coming out?
Well, it has come out, but it's coming out in a limited, you know, like, it's had a limited theatrical run.
Okay. I'm dying to see it.
Yeah. Because I believe the director just did a commentary with the producer than a few weeks ago. So they are going to be burning discs. And I will definitely let you know about that, because, you know, I mean, I even act in the movie as well.
Yes, I want to see this.
Yeah.
You're in game.
I play a guy who basically, you know, is called Hazmat Pat.
That's great.
Yeah. And I basically, since my day job, I'm also a union laborer, I just take one of my Tyvek suits from work, because I'm playing a CSI. I got my sunglasses on. I got a cigarette hanging out of my mouth. And I walk in to this scene. And I say, you know, I mean, I said so many different lines. One line I said, people were cracking up. I was like, Jesus Christ, and I thought I was a fat fuck. And he's this dead body that I basically got to, you know, clean up around him. But with Balsamo, basically, the director provided the materials. We had no hair in the budget. So the director was literally cutting his own hair.
Oh, wow.
So we could stick it onto this piece of Balsamo's, you know, bottom jaw that gets ripped. I mean, this is a very Wishmaster 2 type of idea that we were going for. When the jaw gets ripped.
Yeah, I remember that.
I think I remember that scene.
Yeah, and I'm basically on one side, you know, pumping blood. My buddy is on the other side. Balsamo's face down, so we don't actually see, like, the jaw, but we do see the jaw bone. You know, and I directed his death scene. So, this is kind of my first venture, actually, directing. And, truth be told, when you're directing, you always say the same thing, I realize. You know, I wish I got more coverage. because we got the show, we got some good scenes, you know, from different angles. But there were at least probably three different angles that I wanted to incorporate.
Right.
But when he's face down, I'm on one side, and the blood was way too thick. I'm trying to blow the blood through. I'm practically giving myself a migraine in the quarter of a fraction of a second because I felt like the blood wasn't going through. My buddy Manny's like, yeah, dude, this blood is awesome. You diluted it perfectly. The blood I had, apparently, it wasn't diluted. So, you know, I'm blowing and blowing. I have a still from behind this. It looks like I'm on the verge of
passing out.
You're just blowing so hard. But, you know, I mean, that was the first time. I work with Balsamo, but I mean, I've seen Balsamo, you know, at the conventions, you know, since then. And, you know, we always joke about it. I always say, how's your jaw doing, buddy? You know, and he's like, Billy Coyne, how you doing, buddy? And, you know, he's great. I mean, you know, I follow him, you know, his videos, you know, stuff like that.
He's just a wicked flirt.
He's a star.
That's what he did for the whole show. He flirted with us for the whole show.
He just flirted with you? Well, he is a flirt.
He does. Yeah.
I mean, I love his videos. Did you see his most recent one? Like, I'm a starving artist.
No, I haven't seen it.
I love watching them. His videos. Hilarious.
I haven't seen his most recent one, but I watched them all.
Yeah. I mean, I would definitely recommend. I mean, you know, it's just, plus, that's the fun thing about this business is, you work with so many interesting personalities.
I can imagine.
Because there are some people that you work with and, you know, some actors are like, you know, hey, how's it going? You know, you might not talk, but, you'll see each other, you know, maybe at, you know, conventions, you know, or events down the road. But, you know, it's funny because, I mean, Balsamo is definitely one of those, you know, like bigger than my personalities.
Oh, yeah.
And the funny thing is people kind of have put me on par slightly with Balsamo, because, you know, I definitely have a big personality myself.
Yes, you know? You do.
And so whenever I go to, like, events or conventions, I'll see people like, hey, Billy Coyne, how you doing, baby? You know, they run over and give me a hug and a kiss.
Yep,
and
everybody knows you. It's like walking through with the mayor.
You're very huggable.
I am. Well, God damn it, with this face, you know, this is the cutest
guy. You
just
want to pinch your cheeks. You're so cute.
No, 12 years old, bro.
Hey, the show isn't about you, buddy McLovin.
No, the show's not about you. You're not even supposed to be on the show.
Is there anybody that you want to work with that you haven't had the opportunity?
Is there anybody I would like to work with? I think for someone that I would love to work with, I'd actually really like to work, and you know, I've known her for years now. She's a wonderful person. I'll have to do something with Phyllis Rose.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
I'll be there. Sign me up.
Yeah. I mean, plus,
I'd watch it.
With, what's it called? With so many different, you know, I mean, I guess, you know, pretty much, I'm always game for anything, you know. I mean, if the script is good and it's something I can get behind, then you can't go wrong because, you know, but, you know, Felissa Rose is definitely someone I would like to work with.
And we will have her on the show eventually.
Yeah, Jimmy Duvall, definitely, because I've known Jimmy for, you know, over 10 years now, who was Frank the Bunny from Donnie Darko, and just, you know.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's like the Keanu Reeves almost, you know, of, you know, like the horror scenes. Whoa, dude, you know. I'd love to do something with him, but, you know, I think when you work in the convention scene for so long, you become friendly with these people.
Yeah. They're all so nice. I mean, every actor I've met, it's always been so nice. I mean, it's also how you treat them as well. You got to treat them like human beings and not like, oh, my God.
Yeah, because there's that fanboy aspect that you have to get past.
Yeah,
because
which I have.
Yeah, and thankfully that we have. Because
except for when I'm a little tipsy.
A little tipsy?
Yeah, like I have my horror boyfriends. But
yeah, well, we know about Tony Todd, you know. How
Tony
much...
Todd,
Bill
Adam
Mosley.
Green,
yeah,
Bill Mosley.
Jeffrey Combs, the young Jeffrey Combs.
Well, I haven't met him yet, so he can't be my horror boyfriend.
Yeah, no, it's funny because when I was representing for Full Moon a few years ago, that's when I first met Melissa.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Combs was there, and...
he might have been there when I'd been there, but, like, I didn't... really,
yeah, just kind of
put the two together.
Yeah, because I think he had a panel, and I think he was talking Reanimator and Frighteners, you know.
Oh,
but
man.
Yeah, But, you know.
No, I don't think I was there because I would have went. Because I've liked Reanimator for years.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, you know what? If I had to pick, like, favorite horror movies, I would say Reanimator is probably number one.
It's one of them. No, Evil Dead will always be number one for me.
Well, for me, I would have to.
Reanimator is definitely up there. I would have to say
Reanimator is probably my number one.
It's one of my. It's definitely in my top five.
Yeah. I mean, top five lists are difficult. I mean, but we're, you know, diehard horror fans.
Yes.
And it's not fair to say, what's your favorite goddamn horror movie? Well, because we have to do, like, a top ten
list. Wait a minute. I have to ask you that. You're a guest. Yeah. What's your favorite scary movie?
Well, I guess if I had to pick one, I already mentioned it. It's Reanimator. Yeah. But, you know, if I had to do a top five, then, you know, I think considering how I said Ghoulies lit the pilot, you know, I mean, Charlie Band, you know, was definitely the producer of that. You know, the Puppet Master franchise, David Allen and that collaboration.
Right.
So with the David Allen, you know, the first, I think the Puppet Master series, if I could clump it as a trilogy.
Well, actually, yeah, I clump Evil Dead as a trilogy.
Yeah, because the first three Puppet Masters I would have to put as number two, even though it's three films. It's just like a continuation.
Yeah, Evil Dead is three films, so
yeah.
Evil Dead is all in one.
For two, I'm going to say the Puppet Master trilogy, which sounds ridiculous. Three, I would have to say Jaws. I mean, I grew up on Cape Cod.
Okay. So, I've only seen Jaws recently, believe it or not.
Yeah, but, I mean, I grew up on Cape Cod, and I used to go over to Martha's Vineyard all the time when I was a kid.
That must have been creepy.
But the funny thing was, whenever we'd take the boat over, we'd go over to, like, to Menemsha Harbor. When I was really, really young, you could see remnants of the shark basically just disintegrating. I mean, the shark had fallen apart from over the years, you know. But it was a few pieces of the frame of the shark. I remember I saw it was, like, 5 or 6 years old, and I'm like, that's Jaws, and I mean, I watched that movie. I think I was like 5 years old, and
oh wow,
yeah, I was really, like, young when I saw it.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, it's one of those movies. It's almost like you can't say it's a horror movie because it's almost like it has a very timeless element about it. It's almost like there's something biblical about it. It's like Jonah, you know, and the whale, you know, a man's basically, you know, Moby Dick, you know, like. Quint has this, you know, persistent, you know, quality that he's just going after it. I guess you can't say, I mean, to me, I know some people clump Jaws as a horror movie.
It is.
Yeah, but I think it's definitely one of the greatest films.
Yeah.
So that's Reanimator is one, Puppet Master Trilogy is two, Jaws is three, and I'm only going to do five, just so it's a nice, solid number.
Okay.
Four, I would say the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Because Tobe Hooper is just an amazing goddamn director.
Yes.
An amazing story. I mean, Daniel Pearl is one of my favorite cinematographers. If I could work with someone, I think Daniel Pearl, because he knows his shit. You know, I mean, the shots with, like, you know, the close-ups of the eyes, you know, and, like, the original, and that spider's nest, you know, that was just so tight. I mean, that was just an incredible shot.
If I could work with somebody, it'd be Bruce Campbell, but anyway.
For five, it's really difficult because it's a toss-up. It's a toss-up between, I would say, the original King Kong.
Hmm.
Because of animation. And that was one of the first films I really watched when I was young. I was really young. That helped get me into stop motion animation. I think I was even younger than five when I saw the original Kong.
Wow.
And I became obsessed. But on the other hand, I would have to say Evil Dead 2. Because I love that hell's a pop and insanity, fantastic makeup effects. Basically, it's retelling the story of the first Evil Dead.
Yeah.
But
It's a better movie than Evil Dead.
Yeah. I mean, the makeup effects...
Evil Dead is scarier than Evil Dead 2. Evil Dead 2 is.
And I agree with you completely. But, you know, I think it's just Evil Dead 2 does have the creepy factor of the first one, but it's more... There's more humor integrated into it.
Yeah, and then Army of Darkness is just silly.
Yeah. I think that's why, you know, I just like that comedy mixed with horror. And some people say, can it be comedy and horror mixed together?
Horror comedy. I love horror comedy.
Horror comedy, I think, basically, you know, was the 1980s.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
We did a show on horror comedy.
Yeah. I mean, to me, I think the 80s was primarily horror. I mean, straight horror was the 70s, as far as I'm concerned. You have The Shining, you know, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. The Hills Have Eyes, even though that had some very dark humor. But it was the 80s, I think, when humor in filmmakers like Joe Dante were really kind of, you know, becoming more mainstream. And, you know, with a movie like Piranha, which is another one of my favorite movies, I mean, you know, or even The Howling, you know, which was also Joe Dante. Definitely, I feel, you know, one of the births of, you know, the horror comedy. And I think when it comes to favorite directors, you know, Joe Dante definitely is one of my, you know, favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Do you have any other questions? I'm good.
Did I hit basically every cylinder on the head and answer some stuff for you in a fun,
pretty much,
fun way?
All right. Well, I think we have everything here. So this is Misty signing off. Thank you, Billy, for spending time with us and answering all the questions.
Thanks for having me. It was a blast doing some special makeup and doing turning you guys into zombies.
I totally want to go to the bar like this right now.
You should. You look hot.
I could still get four.